24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. Father, we just thank you that we can gather together this morning, that we can look into your word, and that we can learn from you. We just want to thank you and praise you for being our God. Pray for the kids and children's church. What happened near Las Vegas last Sunday is a horrible statement about the condition of the possible depths of humanity. As I listened to the news this past week, and I watched and read some social media, I was further saddened about America, my nation. But we are not without hope. We have the promise of God that is enough to keep the warmth of hope burning in the heart of every believer. We are not simply a people who have to take the beating of a poor life and an early death. We are the people of God. We are the people who God has called to stand firm in the times of adversity, and we can do it with His help. In John chapter 14, we find a portion of Scripture that offers us the promise of God's help in this life. So let's read it together. Excuse me. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 29. If you love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet in a little while, and the world will see me. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my love, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And I know I have told you before. And now I have told you before it takes place. So that when it does take place, you may believe. At verse 15 it begins, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you recall the commandment that Jesus had just given his disciples in the previous chapter? John chapter 13, verse 34. There it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. The Bible dispensation of time that we live in is called the church era. Peace within this dispensation, this time that we're alive right now between Christ's first coming and the rapture of the church, this dispensation of time that we're in right now fails when people fail in loving Jesus. Loving Jesus is the glue that holds it all together. And it is this love that proves that we're keeping his commandments and that we love him. This is the basis of what happened in Las Vegas last weekend. A 64-year-old man broke Jesus' commandment to love one another, and we see the results of it. There's a quest underway right now, and if you've been watching the news, you've heard this multiple times. I sure know that I have. To find out what's the shooter's motive. Well, his first motive is he's crazy. Law enforcement is looking, and the media is talking. But the man's basic failure is right here in John chapter 14. He's chosen to not obey Christ's commandment. You see, as human beings, we have certain requirements in order to find the fullness of life. Now, we can look at it physically. We require oxygen, water, food. But when we break it down a little closer to our hearts, we find that we need love, we need security, we need pleasure. Now, if we listen to the voice of the world, we're going to conclude that love, security, and pleasure are enough. And that if we can find love, find security, and find pleasure, then we're going to be happy people. In 2015, the 64-year-old shooter in Las Vegas reported his income to the IRS as $5 million. Wow. When the FBI interviewed his girlfriend, she said that she thought he was dumping her because he had sent her to the Philippines, which was her homeland, and he'd sent her with $100,000. So she thought that he was dumping her. You see, this is a guy that we might say had it all. Yet he had no reason to live. So in the end, even though he had it all, he had love, he had security, and he had pleasure, but he still had nothing. See, as human beings, we're created in the image of God, and we require God in our lives to find the fullness of joy in life. We have to have him. Adding to everything else that we have in life, we have to have God. We have to. We're not complete without him. We can have lots of love, We can have lots of security, and we can have lots of pleasure. And let's just break it into four parts. If it's 25% love, 25% security, 25% pleasure, and 25% God. If you have God without love, security, and pleasure, you're only 25% of the person that God's calling you to be. If you have love, security, and pleasure, the best you can do is to become 75% of the person that God's calling you to be. So what you want to do is you want to have all four functioning so that you can be 100% the person that God is calling you to be. Now, every one of us is different. God has, though we're created in His image. His image is vast. And so we all reflect different parts of Him and different parts of who He is. And so when we're here in this place with love, security, pleasure, and a relationship with Him, it's going to look a little different on each of us. But no matter what your bank account is, your security doesn't come from Him. The Great Depression proved that. The last depression proved that. You can have money and it can be gone, but does your happiness leave with it? If the answer is yes, you've lost more than 25%. So you've lost more than your security. If you lose your money, do you also lose your pleasure? Do you also lose your love? Do you also lose your relationship with God? If you do, then you're a zero. And that's very sad. Jesus has prayed for us. He's asked God to help us. And God has given us the Spirit of Truth to help us on our journey. But we are a stubborn people. And we're going to try everything else. Tell me if this sounds like a sampler of something that you have heard, said, or believe. A guy walks up to me and he says, "Is there a Chevron station around here?" And I say, "Yeah, there is one." And he says, "How do you get there?" And I say, "Well, you take this road right here, and you just follow it. The road's not straight, but just stay on the road, and go on down here, and you go to the four-way stop, you go straight to the four-way stop, you go down there, and it's on your left. It's a couple miles." And the guy says, "No, that's not right." And he says, "Well, it's next to the Chimcombe Corner." And I said, "That's right. It's just straight down this road." And the guy says, "That's not where it is." Now at this point, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, if you know where it is, why are you asking for directions? But we hear things like that all the time, don't we, from people. They're asking us, and then we tell them, and then they disagree with us. So it's like, well, why did you ask if you had the better answer already? And we do that in our relationship with God. We want more out of life than what God's wanting to give us. We want to find other paths to heaven. We want to choose our own way. I can't tell you how many conversations I, as a pastor, have had with people through the years, and those conversations have started or included the phrase, "Well, I think..." Now you can just fill in the blank. "Well, I think God loves everybody and would let everybody go to heaven. Well, I think that the Bible is just stories written by men. Well, I think that God embraces every lifestyle and understands our failings and just takes us for who we are." There is only one way to have a right relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And He knows that we struggle to do that. That is why He gave us a helper. We want to understand why people do the things they do. What would drive a person to be a savage killer? You know what the answer is? It's the same thing that drives every one of us to say things that hurt others. It's the same thing. What drove the Las Vegas murderer to kill is the same thing that drives us to say mean things to our loved ones. It's the same thing that prompts us to waste our money. It's the same thing that prompts us to kneel when we should stand and to stand when we should kneel. It's the same thing that causes us to complain and whine when we have so much to be grateful for. It's the same thing. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." When people ignore and deny the Spirit truth, they enter into a battle that cannot be won. Because we're battling against the very essence of God in our lives. When we enter into that battle, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 apply in their fullness. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Verse 11. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that they may be condemned, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what happened in Las Vegas. That's what happened to that 64-year-old shooter. He decided that there was another way. And as he went down that other way, he began to fall into this delusion. Don't walk on his road. Don't walk on his path. You say, "Well, I would never go out and shoot a bunch of people." Yeah, but would you go out and talk about a person in a way that crushes them? You say, "Well, that's not the same." Well, no, it's not the same. Sometimes it's worse. So the question here stands, do you live with the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Do you hear him when he talks? When you get that unction to do something that's right, do you do it? When you get that unction to speak, are you silent? Or do you stick with him? How are you at hearing that voice, and how are you at believing the truth? You know that not everything we hear and read is true, right? Recently, I read an article that said the Seahawks apologized to their fans for staying in the locker room during the national anthem before the Tennessee game. My first thought when I read that was, "Oh, yay." My second thought was, "That's not true." So I looked it up to see. And you know what? When I tried to verify it, I couldn't verify it because it didn't happen. Here's some other things that you may have seen. Some things that float around. Put up that one there. It says, let this sink in a minute. There are 32 teams, 32 NFL teams, 53 players on each team, for a total of 1,696 players. 871 convicted felons playing currently in the National Football League. Now, before I read on, do you think that's true? It's not true. I don't even need to read on. It's just not true. But somebody posted that and put it on Facebook. So it must be true, right? Well, it's not true. Somebody made it up. It's a big old honking lie. Go to the next slide, please. This one says, this is a picture, and it says down at the bottom, it says, skipping in a ways, that's the U.S. Army football team. So are they unpatriotic too? Just asking for a friend. Okay. Well, first off, that is not the U.S. Army Black Knights. That is the U.S. Navy midshipmen. So you know where this is going, right? It's not true. You know what they're doing? They're praying before the game, before the national anthem. They're not protesting anything. They all bowed together to say a prayer. They were probably praying play an army, and they were praying they wouldn't get beat too bad. But, you know, people put this stuff up, and people believe it, and then they repost it. Did you hear that Subway quit serving ham because they didn't want to offend the Muslim community? Guess what? It's true. In some subways. Because you see, in some subways, like perhaps in a Jewish community in New York, they found that the ham didn't sell. And the people didn't actually even like the ham being next to the other food. So they took the ham out because they were trying to sell sandwiches and make their clientele happy. So, yeah, Subway took ham out. But our Subway down here still sells ham because we like it in Washington. So you hear those things and they're not true. If they sound like they're probably not true, they're probably not true. Here's another one that maybe you've heard. The Second Amendment was written to protect citizens against the government. Okay? So, here's the Second Amendment. You be the judge. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's no eclipse at the end of that. That is the end of the statement. That is the entire amendment. That's the Second Amendment. So you tell me what it says. You be the judge. That's what it reads. Kind of vague, so there's lots of people who say lots of things about it. But that's what it says. Don't believe all the stuff that you hear. Here's another thing that I heard in the news last week. These mass shootings, these mass killings, only happen in America where guns are legal. Let me say this. I'm not promoting guns or promoting or condemning or anything. I'm just trying to throw out the facts. Okay? So here's a list of rampage killers who are defined as follows. Rampage involves the attempted killing of multiple persons, at least partly in a public space, by a single physically present perpetrator using potentially deadly weapons in a single event without any cooling off period. The biggest mass killing that ever took place was right here, 86, and the country was France. The second was 75, and the country was Norway. The third, that should be 58, was actually a guy in Las Vegas last week. Then 57 in Belgium and Congo. This guy actually went on two killing sprees because he didn't get caught the first time. And his total number of people that he killed was 57. This was 56 in South Korea, 55 in Taiwan, and then 4 in the United States. And then this is Turkey, and the list goes on down. So you can see that though it happens in the United States, far too often, the United States is not the only place where it happens. It happens lots of places. Next, I hear people say that, well, these mass killings, these are a new thing. So I put together this chart with only mass killings prior to 1970. Okay? 55 people in 1964. 44 people in 1927. Let me throw in some commentary on that one. That was in Bath Township, Michigan in 1944. The man was the treasurer of the school board. He filled the school basement, or he put a bunch of bombs in the school basement that were set to go off on timers. He then basically blew up the school during the day. He then drove a truck down to the school to see what the commotion was all about. While he was there, he got into a fist fight with the superintendent. He then detonated the bombs in his truck, killing himself, the superintendent, and several more people standing by. So that was in 1927. Why did he do it? Nobody knows. Seemed like a pretty decent guy, they said. 1964, 43. 1906, Madrid, Spain, 30. 1938, Japan, 30. You see these dates? 1893, Spain, 20. This is all prior to 1970. These mass killings are not new. They're a long time problem. It's the only point I'm trying to make there. Next, have you heard that we need to do something about the gun laws because the people have access to guns, so they commit these crimes? Well, let's take all the guns out of these mass killings and see what we have. 216 people killed when this guy took his airplane and drove this jetliner and drove it into the ocean. 192 killed when this guy lit a fire in a subway in South Korea. The next one, Timothy McVeigh. Y'all remember him? Oklahoma City bombing, 168. No weapons, no firearms used. This one, that's the age. 14 years old, 1944, in Hartford, Connecticut. He was at the circus, and he got mad, so he lit the tent on fire. He killed 167 to 169 people. All of these are the biggest mass numbers. All because, and not a firearm was used. Check out this one, an unknown arsonist, age 10. He's unknown because his name wasn't released. 1958, Chicago, Illinois. He lit his school on fire. He killed 95 people and injured 100. Sin has its way of reaching out. The devil has his way of destroying lives. I want you to understand that apart from all these things, when you hear it in today's society, don't believe it instantly. Check out the facts. Why did that man shoot those people in Las Vegas? He had all the love, all the security, and all the pleasure but he had no God. And that void in him gave a hole in his soul. And he did something that didn't think about. In verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Then he says this famous line in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." In verse 29, "For now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." Of course, you know, we know in particularly that he's talking about that when his return takes place. But let me tell you this, what else we know. We also know that when people live apart from God, they can do terribly sinful things. When that happens to you, be at peace. Let your hearts not be troubled. Let them not be afraid. Because God is in control of all this craziness that we call life. So for us, we need to seek the truth. Not bite into all this craziness that's going on in our society today. We need to stand and to stay firm with the teachings of Scripture. And we need to walk in them and believe in them. And we need to talk about them in our coming and our goings throughout our lives so that others might hear and that our little voice might make that ripple effect of a larger difference. Because if I tell one who tells one who tells one who tells one who tells one, eventually thousands will be told. That is the gospel message of how and how it's spread. Each one bring one. The love that influences us was made manifest when God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And he offered us the gift of eternal life. Is it too much to ask that we live in the manner in which he called us to live? That we would love one another. So when you hear these things, these mass murders, know that there's nothing new under the sun. They've been happening since Cain killed Abel. Since Adam and Eve ate the apple. These problems have always been around. The solution has always been the same one. Give your life to Christ. Become a full person. Don't lean on the things of this world, but lean on the everlasting arms of a God who created us. Have a relationship with him. Tell everybody you can that Jesus loves them. Be the best witness you can And if we all do that, we will not see these things happen in our community, because the Spirit will be helping each of us. But we have to tell. Let's stand together. Worship team. God, run out of our ears. Now imagine if I was your wealthy father and I said to you, I got everything taken care of. What would you say? You'd be like, yee-haw! But instead, we're like, oh, what if? What if? Oh, no. Oh, no. What if? Oh, don't live in what if. Live in yes, he can. Yes, he will. Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. Guide them in their comings and goings this week. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways. Help us, Father, to be touched by your love. And help us, Lord, to touch others with your love, that we might make a difference in this world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.